Good morning, Crossville Church. It's good to see you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here and hope that the Lord blesses you. We're looking forward to a great day of worshiping the Lord and hearing from His Word. We believe God's going to do something special for us today. Amen? Amen. It's good to see you. Glad that you're here. Just want to remind you of a few announcements. NYI Council will be meeting immediately following the service this morning. And Pastor Tyler, where are they going to be meeting? Going to meet over in the conference room. So our NYI Council, Nazarene Youth International Council, will be meeting in the conference room immediately following the service this morning. No choir practice this afternoon, and the two on-campus small groups will not be meeting tonight. We're going to be going to Crossville, to the Crossville-Cookeville Mission Area Encouragement Tour, and that will be at the Cookeville Church tonight. At 6 o'clock, our district superintendent, Brother Ron DeWitt, will be speaking in that service. If you'd like to ride the van, we have four spaces left. And if you want to go with the... They're mine, but they're not working well this morning. That doesn't bode well for the sermon, does it? Anyway, the van's going to be leaving at 5 o'clock. And so if you want to be a part of those that are riding the van, we do have four spaces, and the van will be leaving at 5 o'clock. Ladies quilting will be Tuesday in the Good News Classroom at 9 o'clock. Wednesday night, regular activities at 6 o'clock. Grief share on Friday at 10 o'clock. Alabaster offering, if you forgot to bring your alabaster offering in, be sure and get that in. It will be, the box will be out through the month of October. Church shirts that were ordered are ready to be picked up. Most of those have already been picked up. There are three or four T-shirts back there on the table that if you would like one, I think we have a medium, a large, and two extra larges. If you would like one of those, they are $15 each. No profit is being made except we just need to get rid of the T-shirts. And we have some hats, too. So be sure to remember, if the polo shirts that are back there, those are spoken for. And so if you ordered one, be sure and pick that up. Church board meeting will be coming up next week, not tomorrow night, but next week. Thank you for the way that you're bringing in Fall Festival candy. We appreciate it so much. Appreciate your help with NYC, and those envelopes are still out there in the foyer. In relation to Fall Festival, let me show you these. We've got some posters that you can take. Now, please just don't take this poster home so that you can hang it on your refrigerator. These need to go up in businesses and places. It's about Fall Festival, October the 29th, 4 to 7 p.m. It has our church address on there. And if you've got some neighbors who have kids, we have some small ones of these that you can give to your neighbors and people like that. But please, we've got these posters here. We want those to go up all over the place. And so pick one up. Take it with you. If you know someplace that 'll put them up, put it up. And that's how people will find out about it. And then we have lots of the small flowers for you to give out to your neighbors there next door to you. We appreciate you being here. Thank you for your faithfulness in attendance. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. And we do appreciate all that you are doing. Pastor Tyler, come and lead us in some songs.
Well, stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and worship you. Father, this morning I pray that you would help us to be able to engage you in worship. God, you are an awesome God. We thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, the way that you've brought us through these last days, these last weeks, Father, these last months, and we can't praise you enough for it. So God, this morning I pray that you would help us to praise you in one of the many ways that we're able to do that through song. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for all you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah, the scripture says that if we don't praise God, that the rocks and hills will cry out in our place. But I don't plan on letting any rocks cry out in my stead. So let's praise God this morning together.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise our God, every word of worship with one accord, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior, God, my Healer, God, my Deliverer, yes, He is, yes, He is. God, my Savior,
a place where streams of grace
the flood comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe.
Everything that we have, everything that we are, we owe it all to you. Your word tells us that there is none good, no, not one. We realize, Lord, that the only one that has ever been good, the only one who deserves praise, honor, and glory is our Savior. We realize, Lord, this morning how many times we have failed you. We realize, Lord, this morning how many times we've had to bow before you and we've had to say, Lord, forgive me. But we're so thankful, Lord, that your word tells us that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, this morning we owe our lives. We owe our eternal life. We owe it to you. And we bring you praise, honor, and glory. As Pastor Tyler said at the beginning of the service this morning, we don't want the rocks or hills to cry out. We want to give you our praise. We want to give you our glory. And Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to come into this place. We're grateful, Lord, for those that are here today. And Lord, we know that in a congregation of this size that there are needs and there are burdens probably that people have not shared with anybody else. But Lord, today, may they share them with you. May they do as your word says and cast all of their care upon you because you care for us. And so, Lord, in this time that we have together, may your Holy Spirit move and may he speak to us and may he help us. And Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, may in this time, in this hour, may they come to know you in the full and free pardon of sin. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to share the good news that Jesus died, that he rose again, and that one day he is coming again. And so, Lord, we pray, Father, that you would bless us in this time. May your Holy Spirit move. May you have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. And for the good things that you're going to accomplish in our service today, we give you praise, honor, and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, there's a scripture over in Romans that says, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to share a song with you this morning, and it's one that I want us to learn together to sing as a means of worship, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to just kind of read the words and take in this song a little bit before we try to sing it together. So the words are going to be on the screen, but this song basically just says that I was a wretch. I was useless. I was worthless. I remember that, but God made a way to cross the great divide.
Amen.
And come and find me in a place where I was lost and I was hopeless. And so just listen to the words of this song as I sing it. If you want to sing along, you're welcome. But I want to just kind of take in the words and think about what they mean.
Stronger than the wonder-working power of
For the past few weeks, we have been looking through the Word of God at some of the statements that Jesus made that said, come and we've talked about come and drink. We've talked about come and rest. Last week, as we were together, we talked about come and see. And this morning in the service together, I want us to look at the phrase, come and remember. Come and remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin with verse 23 and read down through verse 29. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow, do this in remembrance of me. Basically, you find out on that evening as Jesus and the disciples were together, Jesus said to them, come and eat, come and drink. Paul is telling us and reminding us that this supper, which we will partake of here in just a little bit, it is a time of remembrance. Jesus spoke those words on the night before his crucifixion. The Apostle Paul reminds us and says, what I have received from the Lord, I am passing on to you. And he tells us, do this in remembrance of me. We have that on the front of our communion table. Do this in remembrance of me. And really, what are we remembering? What are we doing when we come to the Lord's table? What do we remember? What do we think about? What should we do as we come to partake of the bread and as we come to take of the cup this morning? In an old Mutt and Jeff cartoon, Mutt comes up to Jeff, and you kind of have to be old to remember Mutt and Jeff. Some of you are, none of the young people are shaking their heads, are doing this morning. So that tells me something about that. Mutt and Jeff are standing in the middle of a highway next to a pile of stones with the lantern sitting on them. And Mutt says to Jeff, did you put the lantern there? And Jeff says, yes. And Mutt says, what for? And Mutt says, to warn cars so they don't run into this pile of rocks. So Jeff thought for a moment and then asked very reluctantly, did you put the pile of rocks there? To which Mutt says, yes. Jeff says, why? He says, why, to hold the lantern up, of course. You had to know Mutt and Jeff to really get that, you know. What was he doing? He was basically going through the motions.
Too often, I think when we come to this time in the church's life, we really just come to this place and we go through the motions because we've done it many, many times before. And so we know the words. We know what's going to be said. We understand that it's a sacrament of the church. And so therefore, we just go through the motions. It is a sacrament. It is tradition. It is something that we observe. But please understand that unless we remember why we are doing this, it becomes nothing more than something that we do just because everybody else is doing it. Max Lucado, in his book, In the Angels Were Silent, spoke of an episode when he was a young man. He said he was part of a youth group of people from his church who, as a service of ministry, took the Lord's Supper to the homebound and to some of the hospitalized members of their church. And he said he and his friends visited an elderly gentleman who was in the hospital, and it was nothing serious. It was only a minor illness, but when they got there, the man was asleep, and absolutely nothing that they could do seemingly would wake him up. They didn't want to leave without giving him the Lord's Supper. And so one of the 11-year-olds pointed out that the man's mouth was open. And so they decided, well, why not? So they broke off a little piece of the bread and they placed it in his mouth. And Max Lucado said that then they poured just a little sip of juice into the man's mouth. And sure enough, he swallowed. And this is what Max Lucado said. He never woke up. And then he adds these words. And when we do the Lord's Supper many times, many people never wake up. The Lord's Supper is one of those things that it can become that for us, just something that we do if we're not very, very careful. It's of the utmost importance that when we come to this place, that we come and remember. We come and remember why we are doing and what we are doing. And ultimately what we are doing, what that cost our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to come and remember. The first thing that we're going to remember this morning is God's protection. The story of the Lord's Supper and this event really has its tradition far before Jesus and his disciples sat together at that Last Supper. It was more than just something that happened a few hours before Jesus' arrest and execution. The story of the Lord's Supper, really, as we celebrate, has its roots all the way back in the nation of Israel. You find that in the book of Exodus. It's the story of God's protection. The people had been captives there in Egypt for generations. And God's desire was for them to know freedom. And God raised up Moses to be a leader who would lead them into freedom. And with a lot of miraculous signs, God presented himself to Pharaoh through Moses. And every time that Pharaoh would say, oh yeah, well, y'all can go. After all, Pharaoh was southern. Y'all can go. Yeah, that went over well, didn't it? When he said, you guys can go, then he would change his mind. And finally, time after time after time, his heart grew hard. And God told Moses, he said, tell the children of Israel that we're going to begin a tradition. It's the tradition of Passover. And a perfect lamb was sacrificed. And blood from that perfect lamb was placed on the doorpost of the house. And when the angel of death saw the blood, he passed over that house. It was a very sad thing when you stop and think about it. But God tried to do this without this thing so terrible. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, God says to the people of Israel, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. God's protection. In the Passover celebration, the Jewish people, they would celebrate the cup and of wine that represented the blood that secured God's comfort, God's protection over them. But Jesus, as He is there with His disciples, He moves much further than just protection from the death angel. Jesus moves to the point that He says to you and me, when I see the blood, I understand that it has been applied and sin has been forgiven. Your sin, my sin, none of us deserve anything but judgment. But what do we get? We get God's love and we get God's grace. Let me ask you a question. How many of you drove to church this morning? Go ahead and raise your hand. You can participate. Just about anybody. Everybody in here, you either drove or you rode. All of us made it here safe, didn't we? You say, oh, well, I'm just a good driver. No, you're not. I've been behind some of you. And the reason I'm behind you is because I understand, you know. How many things have we avoided today? How many things have we avoided over the past week? Month, year, years. As God has provided us His grace, His prevenient grace, the opportunity for us to be safe, to be saved. You see, when we come to this place this morning and we begin to remember all the things that God has done for us, we first and foremost have to remember His protection. Which basically leads us into the second point of this. Not only do we remember God's protection, but we also remember His provision. If our memories only stopped with His protection, it wouldn't be enough. I'm thankful that God has provided, but I'm thankful that God has protected, but I'm more thankful that God has provided. He's provided a way of escape from the sin and the burden that we bore and that we may be still bearing. I don't know. You see, God provides to believers and unbelievers alike in many ways. You go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, and there Jesus tells us that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He provides for all of these things. But what we're going to do here in just a moment is uniquely Christian. It is uniquely Christian in that we remember that Jesus came and He suffered, He bled, He died. All the songs this morning, I don't know if you noticed, but all the songs had to do with praising God for the blood that has been applied. Have you really thought lately? Have you really thought lately about the tremendous gift that God has provided to you and to me? We don't have to continue in our sin. We can be forgiven. We can be set free. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's something that we ought to think about and praise God for on a daily basis. We don't have to endure the penalty of death. Because God has provided a way of escape. Mark chapter 14, verse 24 tells us that the blood has been poured out. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 tells us that Jesus' body was given for us. So when you start thinking about all of that, folks, that ought to do something in our hearts and lives to think that Jesus has provided for our salvation. But please understand, salvation is not just about what Jesus has done. Salvation is about what Jesus continues to do in us and through us and for us. We enjoy the blessings of God. We enjoy the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. The Hebrew writer tells us that Jesus suffered outside the gate that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. He's provided for our salvation. He has provided for our sanctification. He has provided all that we need to live a life of holiness and godliness until He comes again. You see, that's one of the things that we believe, that Jesus in this has provided for our past. He is providing in our present, and He is also providing for our future. It is the gift that keeps on giving. It's what Jesus has provided. During a Texas revival back in 1910, a man in that revival was so overcome by the love and mercy of God that he gave his heart and life to Jesus. The story tells us that he had killed four men, and he never dreamed that God could ever, ever care about him. And he was so touched by what God did in his heart and life that night that he stood up and he just simply proclaimed, "Saved, saved, saved." Some of you already know where I'm going, because Jack Schofield, who was the musician for the revival, was so moved by what this gentleman said that night that he wrote those words into a hymn that we sing, "Saved by His Power Divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I am saved, saved, saved." You see, God has provided for that. It doesn't matter what we've done. Jesus has provided for us to be saved. Not only is there God's, when we come to this place, do we remember God's protection. Not only do we remember God's provision, but I think we also are going to have to remember God's plan. God's plan. I've already touched on it just a minute, but just a moment ago. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it says that when we come forward and we participate in this Lord's Supper, that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. You see two or three things in this thing. God's plan is not for us just to sit and be silent. God's plan is for us to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. He intends that you and I be witnesses. He intends for us to tell people about the saving work of Jesus Christ and what Jesus does in our lives. Yesterday morning, we were at our granddaughter's birthday party. And Susie received a text, and it was from Judy DeWitt, our district superintendent's wife, and she said, "We're going to be in Crossville spending the night. We're supposed to be at one of the Pleasants that are up there, Pleasant Green, I think, wasn't it?" And they said, "We're going to be there. Would you like to go out and eat?" And so we went out to eat with them. It was interesting, as we were sitting there, the young man who was our server at the restaurant last night, Ron began to talk to him, and he was talking to Ron about the check and all that kind of stuff, and so Ron began to talk to him. It was interesting, as he began to talk to him, how that he began to open the door for this young man to hear the good news of the gospel right there in a restaurant here in our town. I don't know if that young man will ever call us, but he has my phone number and he has Ron's phone number. You see, part of God's plan is not just for us to sit and be silent. Part of God's plan is for us to begin to proclaim the good news that we enjoy. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we have so much good news to tell. I said it Wednesday night, I'm going to say it again this morning. We in the South have had so much gospel preached to us that if we never had another sermon preached, we've heard enough to know how to live, and we've heard enough to know that we're supposed to bring people with us. That's just the way it is. We are not called to be silent about our faith in Jesus. We are called to proclaim His death until He comes. Which is another part of the plan of God, is that Jesus one day is coming. Now, I would not be stupid enough this morning to stand here and try to tell you that I know the date and the time and the hour. You know, I don't know that. No clue. I've always felt as a pastor it was not my job to prepare you for and let you know through all the things that I might be able to gather when Jesus was going to come. We in the Church of the Nazarene simply believe that Jesus is going to come. For some of us, we may live until Jesus splits the eastern sky and we are called up to meet Him in the air. For many of us, though, He will come through a simple tap on the shoulder, so to speak, saying, "Child, it's time. It's my job to prepare you so that whether He comes as He splits the eastern sky or if He simply comes and taps you on the shoulder and says, 'Child, it's time,' my job is to prepare you so that you will be ready." You see, that's part of God's plan. That's part of God's plan. And so we have the opportunity to tell people the good news that Jesus died on the cross so that they could be forgiven of their sins, so that they could become new people in Christ Jesus, so that they could have a change like they've never had before. Conclusion. You see, the Lord's Supper, it's a special time. It's a celebration because we're called to come and remember. It's a time in which we come and remember that we have this common bond with each other, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we also have this common bond in that Jesus has given His life to save us. And we come together at this table. I love how the manual says, "Let us ask as we receive these emblems of His body and blood, that we may be united as the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood, and called to take His message to our world." We can't forget when we come to this table, folks, that we are one with the Lord. For the early church, it was a symbol of their trust in God. It was a symbol of their bond to each other. It was really what made them community. It was what brought them together. And this morning, as a body of believers, we are going to come together and we are going to remember. We're going to remember God's protection. We're going to remember God's provision. And we're going to remember God's plan. And so this morning, I want you to come and remember. We're going to say goodbye to our group on Facebook. We appreciate you being here this morning. We're so glad that you are here with us. Be sure and let us know that you were with us this morning. But we as a congregation are about to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we rejoice in the opportunity that we have to do that this morning. May God bless you, those of you who joined us on Facebook.